Luke chapter 21. Now remember that, let me read you the last two verses of chapter 20 so you can remember what we're talking about here, or what he was talking about. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes, and they love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief places at all the feasts. Watch out for them. They devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater judgment, damnation. Don't be like them and watch out for them. Be careful. You and I need to watch out, because there are a lot of people that just seem religious. They seem like the nicest guys and nicest girls. But just watch out. Don't follow a woman or a man. Every pastor who teaches, every woman who teaches Bible studies, they need to teach you and back out of the way and lead you straight into the arms of Jesus. That's where you belong. That's where you're going to be all right. That's where things are going to be great. That's where you're going to be taken care of. Jesus is the answer. And so, watch out, he says. Now, here, look what naturally follows. He looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, see, if you're visiting for your first time this morning, you're thinking, oh man, that's it. Every church I go to, all they ever talk about is money. Well, that's what we're going to talk about, finally. So, obviously, if you're visiting, God wanted to speak to you about your money. And if you're not visiting, he still wants to speak to you about your money. Really, this sermon is for me. You're just eavesdropping. It is so rude. But it's up to you. We don't talk much about money here unless it comes up in Scripture. But since it came up, we're going to stay on it for the whole morning. Now, there's no way to do an in-depth study on tithing. Not in 30 minutes. It would take weeks and weeks. We can't do that. But we can take a look at it today and get an idea. And I hope, and I believe, answer a couple of questions that you might have. I hope. He looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Jesus, we learn in the other Gospels, placed himself on purpose right directly across from the blessing box. Now, the treasury. The blessing box, in the temple, you would go into the temple, in the temple area, that's where the blessing boxes would be. They didn't take a collection, because most of them weren't sitting down. There's nothing wrong with the collection, but that's not how it worked there. There were what we call blessing boxes. And they would set them in various areas in the outside temple area. You would enter into the temple area, and there would be blessing boxes. Kind of like what we have here. And the people, they would have to take it upon themselves to go to that blessing box and drop something in, or not. It was always up to them. Not really, they had no choice, but you'll see what I mean. So Jesus set himself where he could watch people dropping stuff into the blessing box. Now, I'm telling you, God hasn't changed. And so we have a blessing box, and I'm telling you right now, even when I go, if there's nobody in the room and I drop something in there, God is there, he's watching, and he sees how much it is. Ooh. And he saw a certain poor widow casting in there two mites. Well, the widow put in two mites. Now, a mite, that's the coin of the least value that they had in those days. If you want to look at American money, the coin that is of least value to us would be a penny. That's as far down as we break it. In those days, it was a mite. Now, a mite, if you compare it to our money today, a mite is about 1/8 of a penny. So when she put in two, she wasn't even putting in 2 cents. She was putting in less than 2 cents. But she took the money and she put it in there. Now, what does the money go for? She would put the money in the blessing box, and the money went for the upkeep of the temple. Not only the upkeep of the temple, but for the salaries, or the, if you don't like that word, the upkeep of the priests and those who worked full-time in and around the temple area. The full-time ministers. Also, the money would go to the poor, to the needy, and they would even do different outreaches or missions kind of work, the way the Jews would work it. And so that's what all that money was used for. Now, Jesus notices, and that's interesting, notice Jesus was watching and noticing who put in what. And he still does. That's an important lesson for me and for you. He notices, and he's in the business of noticing, but watch what he notices. See, the rich men were casting, the rich people were casting into the treasury. They were putting things in the blessing box. A lot of people were coming up to that blessing box and dropping stuff in. And there was a widow, she dropped in two mites, less than two pennies. And he said, verse 3, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all of them." Now, that's an interesting statement, because these rich people were putting in large amounts of money. And his statement means not only did she cast in more than all of them, but the idea is than all of them combined. She has put in more by putting in her 2 cents than all of these put together. How is that possible? "For all these," verse 4, "have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury had cast in all the living that she had." They gave of what they had, and they had plenty. She gave, what does the Bible say? Every bit of money she had. Now, I got to thinking about that yesterday afternoon, and I thought, I don't think ever, and I think this is the truth, I don't think ever in my life, I can't remember, but I don't think ever in my life I have ever given every penny I had. Well, it just doesn't sound like me, first of all. Even though I can't remember, there may have been times when I didn't have anything and I gave a little bit, but I don't think, in my life, I'm not talking about you, but in my life, I don't think I've ever given every penny I've ever had. I've always held out something, just in case. He says, you know, this woman, she has given more than everybody. Why? They gave out of their richness. She gave out of her nothing. She gave it all. That's an interesting statement. Jesus notices. That tells me something. It tells you something. God knows what I'm putting in that blessing box, just like he knew what this woman put in. But he knows what I've got left. Notice that. And I know that he's interested in what I got left. I know that. I can tell. She gave it all. What'd she give? 2 cents. You know, come on. Be honest and think about it. What is her 2 cents compared to that temple? We're not going to get there, but look at the verses following. And notice they're going to point out how beautiful the temple is. Come on. What is her 2 cents going to do for the upkeep of this building? They've got solid gold items, solid silver. Some things gold plated. They're silver, they're brass. This is beautiful, ornate. What are you, you know, she could have gone, I might as well keep this because, well, it's not going to help anybody. What's this going to do going toward that priest's salary? Come on, 2 cents? I mean, less than, they're not going to miss it. And I've got nothing. But instead she gave everything she had. And Jesus, you know, sometimes if I get a dollar, sometimes I think, you know, thank you, Lord, for this dollar. I'm going to take a dime and I'm going to give it to you. Because that, you know, I learned that from the Old Testament, a tenth. And so I put the dime in. And Jesus, God knows that I put the dime in there. But he knows I got 90 cents left too. Notice that? He knows everything that's going on. And he makes mention of it here. And that's as far as we're going to get today, verse 4. Because I thought, we ought to look at it just for a moment. We ought to see what we're all about as people. Tithes and offerings. Tithe is a word that you hear Christians use. I've seen it on license plates, usually pastors. Sometimes church accountants, I suppose, tithe. On their license plate. But the word means literally a tenth. One tenth. Now under the law, you didn't have a choice. You had to give one tenth. No more or no less. But you had to give 10%. I remember. And I've heard Christians say, "Well, we are under grace, yes, but the truth is, my family and I, we choose to live under the law." Great, I hope you're a millionaire. 10%, but it wasn't just of your money. I mean, if you grew tomatoes out in your little garden in the backyard and your tomato bush produced 10 tomatoes, you had to give one to the Lord. If your garden's a good size and you grew like 50 tomatoes this summer, you'd have to give God 5. If you didn't, you were stealing from Him. Malachi chapter 3. Would you rob God? How could we rob God? By not giving your tithes to the Lord. In the Old Testament, they had no choice. It was required. Tithe means tenth. So God gives you 10, you have to give Him 1. He gives you 20, you've got to give Him 2, and then you can figure it out from there. And so Christians, and it's a legitimate question. I don't think it's a bad heart or an attitude. Christians ask, do we as Christians have to tithe? Well, first of all, they don't even know they're saying tenth. That's just a word they use. And the answer to that question is no. We are not under the law. We are under grace. We don't have to give a tenth. We don't have to. We're not required to. They were in the Old Testament. Jesus, the night He was betrayed, took this cup and said, drink from it. This is the cup of My blood, the cup of the new covenant. As soon as He said new, that made the other one what? Old. That's what you learn in Hebrews. It's an old covenant. We're now under it. We're under a new covenant. People say, okay, tithe. That means a tenth. It's under the law. We have to. We're now no longer under the law. We don't have to anymore. What's an offering? When you hear the term tithes and offerings, offerings could be done by anybody in the Old Testament. Tithe, you had to give 10%. Offering was anything you wanted to give over and above it. I mean, God just, you just, your business just seemed to be booming. You gave your 10%, but you think, I want to just give more for a special, that God can just use it. And so you would just give over and above that 10%. That would be called an offering. So they would put their tithes and offerings in the box. And God watches the box. Still does to this day. But Christians say, do we have to tithe? No. The answer is no. And here's another question. If we choose to tithe, and this is legitimate, I do not believe, it sounds funny, but I don't believe they're asking with the wrong motives at all. And Christians ask quite often, if we do tithe, does it have to be off gross or net? I mean, you know, you've probably asked that yourself. I mean, what's legitimate? What's real? What's right? I want to do what's right. Is it off gross or net? And people say, I say, what do you get? They say minimum wage. I go, that's gross. They say, agree. Well, what do we have to do? Well, listen, do we have to tithe? Well, a Christian is not under the law. We're under grace. We've been set free. Here's the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to take two verses, three, verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to show you that every one of us should be giving to the Lord's work of our money. You say, I knew it. Pastors always ask for money. If I did a sermon on tithing when the money was low, which I know happens in churches, I've seen it happen in churches. I've been in churches where it happened. If I did that, that would be dishonest. Don't you agree? It would be what I call manipulation. We've all been manipulated in our life. Business people try to manipulate you all the time. People on the phone, what they call to try to sell you something, try to manipulate you all the time. It's wrong to manipulate people. I don't think it's of the Lord. I think it's a sin. It would be wrong for me, if money were low, to do a sermon on tithing or to preach on tithing. But it would be right, as we go through Scripture, to tackle it when it comes up. Here it is, neener, neener. We can't ignore this. And here's what we learn. This I say, reading 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, that's a principle that works in the physical realm, and it is a spiritual principle. I'll show you what I mean, physical realm. I go outside and I plant, I love watermelon. Hopefully you like it too. It doesn't matter. I still like it. Who cares? Love you guys, but hey, I like ice cream too. But You plant, you take some seeds, and you just one little mound here, just go into my backyard and plant just a few seeds of watermelon. What do you think I'm going to get? Well, hopefully a watermelon, maybe sometimes two. Even three if those seeds really get wild and you water it, right? Just get a watermelon or two. But now, what if my wife has a garden going, and I plant, and it covers the yard, and I plant a whole row of watermelon seeds? What am I going to get then? Lots more watermelons. Maybe enough to sell a few, or give some to our friends, or whatever. Just bunches of water, maybe a dozen, or more. But what if I had a whole large field, about a couple of acres, and I got it all prepared, and filled the 2 acres filled with watermelon seeds? What am I going to get then? I'm going to get watermelons. We can take care of the whole town. We can start selling them in another city. We can do whatever we want with them. True? The principle is obvious. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. That's easy. That even I can understand. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Now put that into your spiritual life. Whatever I give to God, He will bless. Whatever I don't, nothing happens. That doesn't matter. That's not only your money. How about my time? How about my talent? How about anything I have? Whatever I am willing to give, if I give abundantly, you're going to reap it abundantly. It's going to bless the kingdom of God. Isn't that true? It's logical. It makes sense. So Paul says, I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So, every man. Now that includes, and he's talking to Christians, every one of us, every single one of us, every person, purpose in his heart, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. God is able, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That you always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let's just break that down quickly. He watched this woman. She put in. And he said she's given more. Why? Because she gave from her heart. She gave what she had. And God watches and knows. How about me and you? Do we have to tithe? No. We want to give. And every one of us ought to. And he says that. Every one of you. According as you decide in your own heart. See? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Now, a young pastor in the ministry, my wife is brand new at all this. I was brand new at all of it. I've told you this before. Our rent was $350 a month. The church paid us $300. That didn't include utilities, didn't include gas for the car, didn't include food, clothes, it included nothing. So, I didn't tithe. I even remember saying to my wife, look, God gave us $300. Our rent's $350. I mean, no, it doesn't. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I don't need to give him 30 of that $300. Are you kidding? I mean, it doesn't work. That'd be foolish. Wouldn't be taking care of my family, and that's worse than an infidel. I could quote all kinds of scriptures. And we just couldn't seem to make it. I don't know why. 350 rent, 300? I don't know. You figure it out. But as I was reading through my Bible and I was teaching verse by verse, I was going to have to teach on it. And I said to Jean, I said, you know, we're not tithing. Now, I can't get up there and tell people this is what God says. I can't do that and not do it myself. That would be wrong. That's manipulation. That's hypocritical. That's just not right. What am I going to do? Skip this part of the Bible? Well, God's led me to go to chapter 39 now. It's of the Lord, I just feel. And every one of those people would have gone, oh man, our pastor is so led. They would have never questioned that I was skipping over it. She said, you know, it's probably true. I said, you know, we got it. We need to do it. We need to do this. So you take $30 of your $300, that's your whole salary, and you give it to the Lord. What were the results? People in my church complained. I said, it's not right, man. You're giving $30 and you're getting it back next month than the $300 we're giving you. I said, yeah. That means if I give 60, I'll get that 60 back in the 300. I said, okay, let's figure that out. I'm going to get rich if I keep this up. You see, you're not going to win it when it comes to people. And people aren't the key. You need to love them. But you need to do what God says, and we did. And you know something? It began to work for us. He literally kept His word. We made it. Oh man, there were times when there was nothing to eat. And I whined and moaned. My wife was good about it. Even Josh was great about it. He was little. What did he get? He didn't know. He thought potatoes were great. 30 days we had only potatoes. 30 days. Wanted potatoes? Boy, I could sympathize with those manna people back there in the Old Testament. Manna again? But never did God let us down, ever. And He has continued to bless since that time. We chose 10%. Who cares what the percentage is? Every person, every one of you, every one of us needs to purpose in our heart. How do you do that? Well, first of all, according as you purpose in your heart, that means you're going to, number one, pray about it. You're going to sit down, you're going to give it some thought, you're going to pray about it. If you're married, you're going to talk it over with your husband or your wife. You're not going to fight about it. You're going to come to an agreement on it. Everybody knows money is tight. I mean, everybody can name that tune in no notes. For most of you, that's the way life is. Life is probably not going to change. But from our hearts, we need to, every man purpose in our hearts. What does he say? Let me read you the verse again. If I can find the verse again. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Notice, you're going to give. Why? Because you're a believer. And you're going to give. That's us. That's the way it should be for us. It's not that we have to. No, you don't have to. You get to. But the truth is, you're going to purpose in your own heart. Pray about it. Think about it. If you're a family, come together in agreement on it and say, this is the way it is. Now we run into troubles when we got a Christian and non-Christian. Man says, I really want to give to the Lord's work. My wife says she'll break my legs if I give. She's not a Christian. I usually tell that person, you need to pray about this. You need to seek the Lord. That you can do what God wants you to do. There must be a way to an agreement somehow. Purpose in your heart. Decide in your own heart. It has to be 10%? No. It can be 20. It can be 50. Somebody asked me this morning. They said, I want to give to the Lord's work, but I don't feel like I can give 10%. I said, you pray. And you seek the Lord, and you do whatever God tells you. Whatever that is. When God gives you $1 million and you want to give Him one, then great. We'll show you how to give that one in a moment. He says, purpose in your heart. I remember my dad. He just passed away just a few months back. I remember when I was about 14 years old. I don't know nothing about nothing, man. I still don't, but at 14. But I remember one day he got a letter from the church that we were going to. It was a big church, really rich. One of the richest in the world still. He got a letter, and the letter said to my dad, who, my mom and dad, they went to church every Sunday. And the letter said to him, it was a bill. Said, this is how much you've given to the church so far. We checked your employee records. They've given us your salary. This is how much short you are of 10%. You owe us. My dad showed it to my mom. She looked at it. None of them said any cuss words like they usually did. My mother would cuss in Italian, but I knew it. I understood it. It's the only words I still remember today in Italian. She showed it to my mom, and then he looked at it again. He never said a word. He tore it up. Threw in the trash, went on to do something in the yard. And from that day forward, my dad never went back to church. Never. Except one time, Southern Arizona, he came and visited our church once. And he lived in that town. He still wouldn't come to church. And I know Christians. You start talk to them about their money, and something happens to them. I want you to know, that here's a thought, and you got to think about this. Ultimately, you notice that you can only give of what you have received. So can I. That's all. If God wanted me to give $1 million, He'd have to give me at least $1 million, wouldn't He? And He hadn't done that. But ultimately, I need to give of what I receive. And I'm telling you, every one of you, you're receiving it from Him. So am I. Whatever I get, it comes from Him. You say, I own my own business. I work hard. I overdrive. I'm earning. And God gave you the mental capacity and the coordination to use your hands and the ability to use this body. And remember, He could allow that health to be gone instantly. So be thankful at what He's allowing. But ultimately, whatever I've got, I have received it. Paul says, we came into this world with nothing. You remember that, don't you? Well, you may not remember, but there's pictures. You didn't even have clothes, man. How embarrassing. Aren't you glad your high school friends weren't there? You had nothing. Neither did I. And we're going to leave with nothing. Contrary to what everybody's saying. Everything we get in between, it's for us to use. We can use it right or we can use it wrong, but it's for us to use. So he says, purpose in your heart. Pray about these things. And here's how you should give. He says, every man according to the purpose of his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Grudgingly literally means with pain and annoyance. That means resentfully, reluctantly. Doing it because you're supposed to keep people happy. All right, God gave me $100. All right, okay, I'll give you 10. I don't want to, but I don't, you know, for crying out. Here's. That's grudgingly. If that's how you give, keep it. God's not going to honor it. If I put it in the blessing box with that kind of attitude, God will not honor that. And He's there watching. He knows what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Not grudgingly. Also, don't give grudgingly. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Necessity means feeling like you have no choice. In other words, and how many of you have been taught this? This is taught commonly around the church. People are taught, if you don't tithe, you'll go to hell. How about that one? Well, I don't know what to do. I don't want to go to hell. You know what? Salvation is by tithe through faith. Does it even sound right to you? Does it even sound right? No, salvation is by grace through faith. And not of works or tithing, lest any man should boast. No, you won't go to hell. If you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you have eternal life. So when we give, it's not grudgingly and it's not of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek is hilarao or hilaraa. We get our word hilarious from it. God loves someone who's giving because they want to. And they're happy to. You say, I don't know how to even do that. Then go and teach Sunday school. Have you ever watched the children give? They are thrilled. If they've got pennies, they can't wait to get to church to put it in. If they pass a little plate or whatever they do in Sunday school, some of them come running and put it in here. Why? They want to do it. They want to give. They're excited. That's what you want to be. You want to be a hilarious giver. God loves a cheerful giver. If you got money and you don't want to give it to God, don't do it. There's no blessing in that. A good friend of mine, lost a leg, part of a leg. In it, without his knowing it, two insurance companies got into a war and sued each other. He had nothing to do with it, but they were both insuring him. So they sued each other to pay for the problems in the hospital bills. And the lawyer contacted him and said, this insurance company suing this insurance company, you're going to get some money. He said, tell them I don't want the money, I want my leg back. They wouldn't do the leg part, so it settled out of court. He received over $15 million. So he went from the church paying his electric bill every month, because he had five daughters, to being a 15 millionaire. And he came to me. Now this is a good friend of mine. And he came to me and he said, the Lord's been speaking to my heart that I should give 10% of this. You can figure out how much that is. And I said, well, I don't know what God's telling you. I couldn't possibly know. I know what the Bible says, but he says, well, I've been praying about it and I don't think you're wise enough to handle that kind of money. I said, well, I couldn't argue with you there. And he says, so I think that I'll give it to you as I see fit. And you know what I said? I said, you're my friend. And so this is stupid. You keep your money. If you can't give it to the Lord with the right heart, keep it. The Lord will use some other way. And the Lord did use another way. So who needs $1.5 million anyway? God's not hurting for money. Notice, it needs to be a right heart that we do this. So God loves a cheerful giver. And ultimately, you got to remember, everything I give him, he gave to me to begin with. Everything. So that's why when I have a dollar, if I give him a dime, he's watching what I do with the 90 cents that's left. Because it ultimately it's his. So he's watching me. And you notice something, and I hope this is true. I try to make it true. Those of you that have been here years and have been around us years, you know that we go through the Bible verse by verse. You should be able to remember that not once yet, even though there have been some major needs, not once have any of those needs been mentioned from up here. We have never yet told you any of those things. You know why? Well, last year, Hope cost us around $25,000. But we really believe it was what God wanted us to do. Now, if I started telling you, hey, we're going to do this and we really are short of money, so tuck in that love gift and get behind it and let's just see what God will do. Do you know what would happen? First, that's manipulation. That's not of the Lord. Second, what would happen is I'd get out there to do some music or to try and teach, but in the back of my mind would be, I don't know if God has done this or if I was a salesman and talked them into this. I don't quite know what's going on. I don't want to be in that position. So I can tell you last year when we got up on stage, we could say, God did it. Nobody asked for anything. Although many people from their hearts gave and were led to give, nobody said a word. We don't want to trick you into anything. There's nothing wrong with passing a collection plate. We don't. I want you to learn, you to grow, and you to go to the box. And if you put one penny in it with the right heart, God will use that penny and others will be saved. God will use what we do. It's the right heart, and you need to pray about it. It's not grudgingly. It's not of necessity. Because, see, God loves a cheerful giver. But notice the last part, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Notice, God just promised me there, you give, and I'll be sure that you have what you need to get the job done that you're doing. Sometimes I say to my wife, I don't know if we got enough to tithe when in the old early days. But we have learned, of course, we're going to give to the Lord's work because He has given me His guarantee. He's going to take care of everything that concerns me. And He always has. He has never let me down. Let me tell you when I saw the miracles. And when I still see the miracles today are when I know it can't be done out of my own pocket. It's the same thing with this ministry. It doesn't matter how what it's got. I know when God is moving, and we don't even let people know, and He does it. And I know this is what He wants of us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. We don't have to worry. We can trust one another. We can help others, and we help people with their electric bill. We help people with food. We help people. You'd be surprised at the things we're able to do. Now notice verse 7 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, or the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You notice why God allows us to be in times of simply trusting in Him? See, we're in these dirt bodies. And when God does something, it's God's glory. You notice all God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You pray about it from your own heart. And you seek the Lord. your purpose in your own heart. If you're married, of course, it's going to be, you're going to come to agreement. You're not going to fight over it. You're not going to say, I want to give $3. I only want to give one. No, you're not going to fight. You're going to agree. And you're going to seek the Lord on it. And the reason that we don't let you know of the needs is for the very reason I told you. If I let you know of the needs, then I'm never going to know in my own heart whether it was me or whether it was really God doing this. And I always need to know that it's God doing it. You know, we're going to build a building soon. That's the rumor. That's what we hope. Once we know things, we're going to write you a whole letter because I can never give you all details from up front. But you see, it has to be God. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's got to be God. Everything we do has to be God. Everything you do needs to be God. In your own family, in your own work, in your own everything. Pray about these things. See, here's a widow who gave what she had, but from her heart she gave. Do you think God would let her go without? I believe He takes care of it. God was there and notices, and the rewards are forever. Pray about these things. Read through those four verses again. Go through 2 Corinthians 9. And what is it? 1 Corinthians, was it 2 Corinthians? What did I quote from? No, yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. Pray about these things. We've all got a responsibility and a job to do. Pray about them and see what God would have you to do. What does He want from you? And now, it doesn't just count your purse and your wallet. You've got a lot more than just a few bucks, a few pennies. The talent, the mind power, the energy, the gifting that you guys have of all sorts. You pray about. Because, see, we need to give for the kingdom of God, for His glory. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. Because God is blessed. He loves a cheerful giver. So somebody said to me after the first service, well, then what should I do? We can't pay all our bills. What should I do? You know, the answer to that is easy. Go before the Lord. Seek the Lord with your whole heart and do whatever He says. That's easy. Let's bow our heads together.